Twitchell's Book One, Dwindling Magic, written and read by T.D.L. White. Chapter 4, The Empty Room. All around the music hall, students were chatting and picking up their timetables. Not a single argument or fight had broken out. And when a student started playing quietly on one of the pianos, the housemaster didn't stop them or tell them off. Everyone looked happy to be there. While Jenny and Elf were busy pampering Cece, James sat on the piano stool, drawing something in his notebook. Mix Taylor, the fourth year's housemaster, left the stage and was coming their way, students politely stepping aside to let them through.
"Timetables," Mix Taylor said, leafing through the last sheets of paper in her hand. "Elf Pontneuf, Jenny Tomlinson, James Pashley, and Nick Thompson."
She handed them their timetables and shook each of their hands before turning to Nick.
"Joining in Year 10 is quite a challenge, and according to this note, you've been accelerated straight from Year 8, all the way from Luton, no less. I'm guessing you're quite the polymath."
Whatever a polymath was, Nick was pretty sure it didn't describe him. He kept his lips closed and his attention firmly on the floor near his feet.
"Well, no need to wax on about it," Mix Taylor said jovially. "You're in good hands with us, and you'll have plenty of support from your fellow students. James is one of our best mathematicians, and Jenny excels in most things, especially in the sporting realm."
Elf coughed.
"And Elf can help you with French. She's a native. We're quite the multicultural school."
Nobody said anything for a moment, so James took the opportunity to ask an important question.
"Did you say this was a warm welcome? Does that mean there's fresh baked pastries coming?"
"No, James, that's what breakfast was for. If anyone has any questions, then you can always find me here. The fourth year base is open to all of you during the day. Nick, ignore your timetable today and follow James's. I'll square it with the other teachers."
Mix Taylor gave Nick a smile, then turned back toward the stage, clapping her hands above her head once and calling out,
"Time to get to lessons, everyone. Good luck all."
Students started leaving in a calm and sensible manner.
"No pastries," James said sadly.
"You've been moved up a year," Jenny asked, sounding impressed.
James joined in. "Twitchell's is already a big step up from regular school," he said. "I don't think I'd want to skip a year too." Nick definitely did not want to talk about it.
"You're French," he said to Elf, rather awkwardly.
"Apparently it's my best academic quality," she said dryly.
"Well, they couldn't mention that you hold the record for skipping the most lessons in a single term," James chided. Elf stuck out her tongue.
"I was hoping she might mention my impeccable style."
She twirled on the spot, flicking out a heel and tilting her head back like a dancer in a music video.
"I'm multicultural, don't you know?"
Multicultural isn't how Nick would have described Twitchell's. It was nowhere near as ethnically diverse as St. Mark's, but he certainly wasn't the only black kid in the hall, at least. James glanced at his timetable and folded it in half.
"Geography. Not the best start, not the worst. Let's go."
Without waiting for a reply, he strode away.
"I've got chemistry," Jenny said. "Elf, I'll catch up later. Nick, stick with James, and don't worry about him. He takes a while to warm to new people." She hurried off.
Elf didn't even look at her timetable before stuffing it into her gown.
"Come on, Cece, I need some more fresh air."
Moments later, girl and dog had pushed through the nearest fire escape, which was right by the pianos. Nick braced himself for an alarm to go off. Nothing happened. He turned and took a couple of steps toward James and slammed into what felt like a brick wall. It was the man-boy, flanked by two other large students.
"Accelerated straight from Year 8," the man-boy said with a scowl. "You're pretty tall for such a baby. And I have to let you know that you've picked the wrong gang to hang out with."
He jabbed a thumb over his shoulder toward James and Jenny, who were almost out of the hall.
"Twitchell's isn't for losers like that. It's bad enough having the poor scholarships taking up space. You're not a scholarship student, are you?"
The two students on either side smirked. Nick kept quiet.
saying nothing was his only defense. Admitting he was a scholarship student wasn't going to help, and lying about being rich could be worse. The hall was emptying out. Nick couldn't see whether the teacher was still near the stage, but guessed that the boy in front of him had picked the moment carefully.
"And that filthy dog," the boy went on, "it stinks. If it comes near me, I'll..."
"You'll do what, Collier?" He was cut off by Jenny, who shoved one of the goons to the side and squared up to the bigger boy. Although her head barely reached the middle of his chest, there was something about the girl that told Nick she'd been in situations like this before.
"I'm listening. What will you do to Cece?" She took a step towards him.
To Nick's surprise, Collier, the man boy, took a step backward, and so did his cronies. "I notice you waited until I'd gone before picking on the new boy. How very brave of you." She took another step toward Collier, and again he started to back off. But this time, she grabbed the front of his gown with both hands and held him in place. His two friends were now a whole step further away. It was a strange sight, such a slight girl confidently manhandling the massive boy. "If I even so much as catch you looking at Cece, I'll hang you from the top of the bell tower by your gown." She held onto his gaze for a moment, then suddenly let go of the gown and he stumbled back, only managing to keep his balance because the other two caught him. He shook their hands off angrily, and without another word he stormed off, barging through two girls standing near the door.
"How did you do?" Nick started to say, but Jenny cut him off.
"Start as you mean to go on. Which is troubling, because I think I'm going to be late to science. Come on." Nick waited, watching Collier's two friends follow their leader out of the hall. "Don't worry about Collier. He's not stupid enough to try again while I'm around. And I'm not going to babysit you, but I can point you in the right direction if you walk with me." Nick sighed. This wasn't the start he'd hoped for, and there was still a whole week to survive. "Thanks," he said. Jenny walked fast. "Collier has a thing against the scholarship students," she explained, as Nick tried to keep up. "He thinks his dad's somewhat shady financial dealings make him more worthy to be here. Plus, Elf dumped him over summer, and I don't think he's handling it very well."
"Elf and Collier?" Nick trailed off.
"Yeah, Elf's an interesting person, and her taste in boys is unpredictable, to say the least." They reached an intersection. "Geography is that way, and up the stairs. Give James a kick from me for abandoning you, will you?" She didn't give him time to reply and started jogging off in the other direction. The geography classroom was a big, comfortable space filled with antique shelves, worn wooden desks, and rugs covering the polished floors, with a couple of old armchairs in one corner. It would have been cozy if two of the walls weren't made up of floor-to-ceiling glass that met in a corner and looked out across about a dozen sports fields of various types. Football, rugby, cricket, and others that Nick didn't recognize stretched out over a huge clearing in the forest. There were about 15 students in the class, mostly sitting in pairs with their gowns off, hanging over the backs of their chairs. James sat alone at the desk furthest from the front, near to the glass corner. To Nick's surprise, at the front of the room was an old-fashioned blackboard. The teacher was busy writing something on it in chalk, while the students talked quietly or read. Although he was supposed to be his guide, James didn't acknowledge Nick at all as he sat down next to him. Nick took off his gown and put his rucksack on the floor next to his chair. The teacher turned to address the class. On the board, in thin yellow chalk, was the name Mr. Lee.
"Big year, lots of pressure, blah blah blah," he said dismissively, waving a hand. "Now, let's get into what we know about landscapes in the UK, particularly about how they're formed."
He turned back to the board and drew a simple line drawing of a cliff and the sea. While he did this, everyone sat there quietly and paid attention. It was like they were hypnotized. James had his notebook out, drawing something carefully. It looked like some kind of Chinese symbol. Nick felt a strong urge to check his phone for Wi-Fi, but managed to keep his hands on the desk.
"So," Mr. Lee said, "who can tell me one of the ways that the coastline of the UK changes over time?"
A dozen hands raised.
"What about beaches? Anyone know why some beaches are steep and short and others are much more gently sloped?"
A couple of hands stayed raised.
"How about you, Nick?" Mr. Lee said. "Good to have you with us. Are you an expert in transportation and deposition?
Nick said nothing.
Steep beaches are made by waves washing stuff up, James said without looking up. Nick's from Luton, which I don't think is near any beaches.
You're from Luton? Mr. Lee asked.
Nick nodded.
Then you've got plenty to learn about coastlines. It would be a good idea for you to come back during prep, and I'll help catch you up.
The teacher turned his attention back to the rest of the class.
Now, who can explain shallow beaches?
Prep? Nick asked quietly.
It means homework, James said, but we're not at home, so it's just extra work.
Nick groaned. He hated homework.
Well, he hated the idea of homework, and he was sure that he would have hated homework itself if he'd ever done any. After some more simple questions, or at least simple for everyone that wasn't from Luton, the class was tasked with writing essays about longshore drift. Nick picked up a new exercise book and a pen from a drawer at the front of the classroom. All work was done on paper, in the books or on sheets, and it was all kept in the room. There was no need to carry anything around, as everything was provided. While everyone else got on with their essays, Mr. Lee gave Nick a textbook to read called Geography Today. James continued writing or drawing in his pad. Nick spent the rest of the lesson reading the first pages of the textbook and writing down answers to questions. After about 10 minutes, he'd filled a page with his unruly scrawl and his right hand ached. He never usually wrote anything, not if he could help it. After an hour, it was time for the next lesson, French. Nick managed a discreet check for Wi-Fi in the corridor as he kept up with James. Still no networks. Again, James sat them at the back of the classroom, and within a short amount of time, Nick was invited by the teacher to come back to do extra French work during prep.
At this rate, you won't make it out of prep before bedtime, James said, once the rest of the class was getting on with their work.
Nick checked his timetable. Lessons ended at 4:30. Then there was something called tea for half an hour, and after that, prep began at 5 and ended at 7. At his old school, they were out at 10 to 3, and he'd be home 15 minutes later. He sighed. Only 4.5 more days before he could go home. Lunch was back in the dining hall. This time it was packed with students eating, and he was assigned a seat by Margaret, the maitre d'. She sat him on a table with James, Elf and Jenny. Cece had to stay on the floor, which meant a lot of hands passing scraps under the table as they ate. There were 3 options for main course, and Nick decided on lasagna. He'd only had microwave lasagna before, and was amazed at how the massive portion heaved onto his plate had so many layers and how crispy and delicious the top of it was. He didn't say much over lunch, mostly just listening to the others. They were chatting away like old friends, though every now and again Jenny or Elf asked him a question. He nodded or gave a short answer when he had to. Not much point in making friends if he was leaving at the end of the week. A couple of other fourth years joined them. Nick couldn't be sure, but he figured they were scholarship students too. They were much too normal to be super rich. The afternoon lessons went much as the morning. Small classes where everyone got on with their work, James writing or drawing away in his notebook, and teachers inviting Nick for extra time in prep. Last lesson was maths. Collier was in the same class and made eyes at Nick when he and James walked in. Nick didn't react, just followed James to the back of the room.
"I see you've made a friend already," James said quietly after they'd sat at the desk as far away from the man-boy as possible.
"He doesn't like me," Nick said.
"He'll come round in the end, once he gets to know you."
"Really?"
"No, he's a nasty piece of work, and Elf did not do us any favours by splitting up with him." James made it sound like it was Elf's duty to stay with Collier to keep the peace, like a royal princess forced into a marriage of convenience. Miss Watson, the maths teacher, was the only one who didn't invite Nick back during prep. She did, however, give him a thick textbook to read, which had about 100 pages of questions she wanted him to answer before the next lesson. When the day finally ended at 4:30, Nick was exhausted, and he only had half an hour before prep began, which was 2 more hours of work.
"Tea's in the common room. I'll show you where it is, then I've got other things to do." James didn't say where he was going, but Nick guessed Jenny and Elf would be there.
"What about Wi-Fi and internet connection?" Nick asked.
Surely you don't put up with 1 hour a day. That's the rule here at Twitchell's, James said flatly. It's a total black spot. I think they might even be blocking signals with some kind of Faraday cage. The Wi-Fi in the common room is the only network there is. That was not what Nick wanted to hear. But then, he still had hope of finding a teacher or admin network he could piggyback onto. He just couldn't understand how everyone was being so calm in the face of so little internet time. The common room was in the house, which meant it was much shabbier than the gleaming newness of the college. Shabbier, but still grand in its own way. Multiple scuffed sofas on top of ancient threadbare rugs were arranged around a huge stone fireplace. Behind the sofas was a full-size ping-pong table, net sagging low, top dappled with a rainbow caused by waning sunlight seeping in from a tall stained-glass window above it. The rest of the room was lit by a dozen bulbs fixed to a wagon-wheel-sized chandelier suspended from a great wooden beam high above Nick's head. There was more dark wood panelling, and against one wall was a huge oak table, longer than the ping-pong table, and laid out with an array of sandwiches, snacks, and drinks. There were only a handful of students in the room, mostly young and excited first years. According to James, there were other dorms at Twitchell's, each with its own common room. The house was mainly for scholarship students, or us normal kids, as James put it, making a beeline for a silver tray filled with sandwiches cut into triangles. He gathered up three or four in one hand and put an apple in his pocket with the other. "I've got things to do," he said, holding up his handful of sandwiches. "See you tomorrow." He left Nick at the snack table and hurried out of the room. It hadn't been that long since the lasagna experience, but Nick definitely had room for a little something. He picked up a sandwich and took a bite. Nice bread, strong cheese, and some kind of spicy mayonnaise. Jenny came hurrying in before he'd finished it. "How was it?" she said. "Tasty." He held up the end of the crust before popping it into his mouth. "I meant the afternoon's lessons. Did you get much more prep?" "Oh, yeah. Not for maths, though." "Great. That's good news, at least." She looked around. "Have you seen James?" "You just missed him. He's got things to do." Nick nodded at the door. "Brilliant. I'll catch him up. See you tomorrow." And she left. Nick looked back at the sandwiches and decided he wasn't hungry anymore. He had a few minutes before his first prep experience and figured he should use them productively. Leaving the common room, he saw Jenny ahead of him, walking fast. Before she reached the dorm corridors, she ducked through a door, which closed quickly behind her. Nick wandered after her, pulling out his phone and switching off flight mode. When he got to the door Jenny had gone through, he stopped and looked at it. There was an old brass plate screwed to the peeling brown varnished wood. The plate was in need of a polish. He could barely make out the words "study room" engraved in the tarnished metal. Muffled voices came from inside the room. Nick leaned closer to check if James and Elf were in there too. Then his phone buzzed. Its screen said he had 2 bars of reception, which had allowed a bunch of messages to be delivered. He opened an app to check to see if his messages to his mum and granddad had been sent. They had. But before he could do anything else, the signal vanished. So did the voices beyond the door. He spent a few seconds waving his phone around to see if the signal was still lurking nearby. It wasn't. The room stayed quiet. Intrigued, he turned the handle and pushed it open, and to his surprise, the room was empty. Not just empty of humans, but completely empty of anything at all. It was a square space, perhaps 5 meters by 5, with bare floorboards and a window that looked out onto the fountain in front of the building. It had a small cupboard in one corner. There was nothing else in the room at all, apart from a fresh apple core on the windowsill. Doubting that it would lead to Narnia, but wanting to be sure, Nick opened the cupboard. It was a regular, empty cupboard. He closed it and took one last look around and went back out into the corridor. There was one other door nearby, a little further along. Was it possible he'd stopped at the wrong door? But he'd heard the voices, hadn't he? The next door looked like it hadn't been opened in years. A thick layer of paint filled the cracks around the edges. He tried it anyway, and it didn't move. Standing in front of the door, Nick convinced himself that either Jenny had played some kind of trick on him, or he'd just made a mistake about where she'd gone. His phone still showed no reception. With 10 minutes to get to geography prep, he started walking. James and Jenny and Elf might have been up to something strange, but Nick couldn't worry about that now. He had his own matters to attend to.
This podcast was brought to you by me, T.D.L. White. I'll be reading a chapter a week until it's complete.